Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. How are you? As you may have noticed, I am not Mike. I made a mistake today. Mike and I are actually in the Bahamas right now, educating ourselves, growing, learning, so that we can kind of impart that wisdom onto you. So I'll share with you a little bit of my view right here. There we go. Oh, too dark. There we go. Isn't that nice? All right. So that is the view that I get to see today and spend some time with you amazing people. And as you may have noticed, we've actually changed the topic. The topic is going to be how to love your spouse as a business owner. You know, I feel like we talk to a lot of people that, you know, work with their spouse or have a spouse that, you know, either stay at home, you know, handles the kids or has their own business, and they don't really know how to manage that relationship. It can be really difficult for them. So I'm here today to kind of help you guys kind of walk through that and share with you some of the tips that Mike and I have kind of developed on how to work with that spouse, even if they don't work in the business, because it's really important that you guys are kind of on that same page and really learn how to communicate, how to grow with one another and support one another, not just with the business, but as a married couple. And I'm just going to get right into it. So hopefully you guys will bear with me and feel free to post any questions. I'm happy to answer them and we'll get started. So the biggest problem that I've found is when you have a business, especially a startup business or a business that's struggling, it can be all consuming, right? It can take over your life. It can take over every priority that you have because you see your business as this vehicle for you to get from where you are now to where you want to be. And you see that as, well, this is how I'm going to support my family. This is how we put food on the table. This is how we're going to retire. This is everything. This is for all of us. And what you don't realize is that that importance becomes superior to everything else in your life. And your wife or your husband or your kids or your sanity takes a second place to that. It takes a back seat. And we don't really understand the importance of reversing that order in our lives. It can put not just a physical barrier between you and your spouse in time, or just not being there, or, you know, having to service accounts or put out fires or hiring employees or doing the books or whatever that is that you're doing in your day to day, but it puts this huge emotional wedge between you guys. And it puts this distance between you because you've got this spouse, this mistress, your business, and you put all of your first fruits into that business. And then you leave your spouse with the emotional and physical leave-ins. And if your business isn't going great, that can mean that you're basically leaving your family with just this tiny bit of exhausted, frustrated, angry, or hopeless self of yourself. And then you're not allowing them in to help you be that support and that that background that you need to kind of get through it, right? You know what your what is, but you have forgotten your why. Thank you, Ozzy, for helping me come up with those words, because that's exactly what I'm trying to say. It can cost you your marriage, right? Like marriage divorces are what, 65, 70%? I think if you were to find a study that kind of went over people that own their own businesses or spouses that work together, it's probably higher. Because it's difficult to work with a spouse. It's difficult to spend all of that time with somebody that may have different beliefs or different core values than you. And find a common ground and move forward in a positive and encouraging way. We all have different ways of communicating. We have different needs. And if we're trying to serve the business and not really figuring out how we can kind of communicate that with our spouse, we're just not going to have that good connection. And eventually it's just going to fall apart. So it can be really difficult to find that common ground, and you need to be able to have that communication with your spouse. And that's part of loving them, right? Being actually interested in who they are and what's important to them and how you can make them feel loved and supported. A lot of us believe, especially when we're just starting, that your spouse understands that just for the short period of time, you've got to do everything that it takes to build this business, right? So they understand that you're busy working 100-hour weeks. They understand that you're frustrated or short-tempered, but they know that it's ultimately for the good of the whole family, and they get that, and they're supporting you. That is completely, completely a lie. It may be that way for the beginning, but eventually they're going to harbor some resentment and frustration because they feel like they are emotionally abandoned, and that the business is more important than them. So it's really important that that you realize that what you're doing is not as important as who you're doing it for. the truth is that your spouse needs you to be there for them. They need to know that they are more important than putting out a fire, more important than your customers, more important than your employees, and more important than the business. Because there's lots of different ways that you can put food on the table. So this business is not the only way. This business is supposed to support you and the lifestyle that you want to lead. But if this business is tearing down the lifestyle and the marriage that you are fighting so hard to provide for, then it's just not worth it. So you have to reverse that. There's a falsehood also that you can combine like your work and your relationships together, right? A lot of us are like, okay, so my spouse is complaining that we haven't spent a lot of time together. Fine, we'll go to dinner and I'll have my phone on me and it's vibrating or buzzing every 10 minutes and I'm looking at it and, oh, hold on, I just got to answer this one question, or this person's really upset, let me just take this call. And that's not a good way of dealing with that problem. Like, you're not able to do two things at the same time well. So what ends up happening is you're doing a crappy job at two different things. And your employees aren't going to like it if you're kind of giving them half-hearted answers or half-hearted attention. And your spouse certainly isn't going to enjoy seeing you with your nose in your phone and constantly thinking about all of these things when all they want is just your attention for an hour over dinner or a meal. You know, in our family, we have a strict rule of no cell phones on date night. So when we go on a date, we turn off our phones. And the only time is if I'll check maybe once an hour to make sure that the sitter is okay and the house hasn't burned down. But other than that, phones are off and we are communicating. And Mike and I, we spend an inordinate amount of time together because we work together and we live together and we do everything together. But we still need to set that time aside to really focus on our marriage and our relationship and asking each other how we've been. I mean, it's crazy how you can literally sit next to somebody for an entire day and be working and working through issues and kind of discussing everything. But then at the end of the day, you don't really know what's going on in their mind or how they feel or what's going on. And so you have like this work relationship, like employee, employer, or coworkers or whatever, but not like this emotional bond that goes beyond any problems that you're having that day. So it's really important for you to kind of delineate that time. And that's a really important way to show your spouse that they are important to you and that they are the most important thing to you. And the benefit to that is that your spouse oftentimes, hopefully, knows you better than anybody else on earth. They are emotionally, financially, physically invested in you and your success. And if you cut them off from how you're feeling, how you're doing, and put them in this little box of this is my business and this is my family, and you separate them, then there's no benefit to that. You might have a problem that's going on in work that you have become so myopic to, you can't see the forest for the trees. You can't see anything outside of that perspective. But if you have your spouse that's kind of involved and invested in your business, and not necessarily, they don't have to work with you, but they understand what's going on, what your goals are, they share your experiences, your excitement, they can probably give you a 30-foot view or 30,000 foot view that is something you didn't even think of before. And they can be tremendously beneficial to you in your success and in problem solving if you just include them in that thought process and in that excitement. And there are ways to do that. Like, you know, you don't necessarily have to separate, you know, business and family all the time. There are times where you can go and dream together. Mike and I oftentimes will take a break in the middle of the day and we'll just go for a walk around our neighborhood. And we'll dream about where we want to go and how we want to serve you guys and what new things we want to do and bring to the world and how exciting that's going to be and how many lives we're going to change. And we both get really excited and wrapped up in that. And that is so crucial to our creative process, to our bonding, to our business. And it really gives us the ability to take our marriage and our business to the next level because we have this partner that is really heavily invested in our success that can see things from a different angle. Because oftentimes we marry our opposites and that can be frustrating at times, but it is also really beneficial. It allows us to see things from a different perspective. And if you don't have that open communication, then there's really no way to get the benefit of that. So, one, separate your business and your spouse when you are really truly spending time for them. And then two is also including them in the business and including them in your success and in your dreams and in your failures. Like, don't be afraid to share your fears with your spouse. I think a lot of times, and I hate to be stereotypical, but men don't want to share their fears of failure with their spouses. They're afraid that they'll seem weak or that their spouse will lose respect for them. But I think the very opposite is true in most cases, where if you are strong enough to be vulnerable and to be honest and open with your spouse, that leaves them a tremendous amount of space to kind of come up and bring that value to you and bolster you where you're weak, and then kind of help and offer support and resources and experience that you may not have seen before. So I'm just going to just take a break and say hi to everybody. Jason, hey, great to see you guys. Jason and Kim are one of our favorite people. They're in our Millionaire Mastermind group and they are our rock star married couple that work together, and they are definitely doing something right. So shout out to the Johnsons, or Team Jim, as we like to call them. They are amazing people. Evelyn, great to see you. She says, I have to say, seeing clients' homes boosted us to love up. This topic is so needed and something needed because our staff sees us as an example. We are the wackadoodles in a good way. And I love seeing that. You're absolutely right. Evelyn, sorry, pronounced it the wrong way. You are probably one of my newest heroes and such a strong and amazing woman that I have just tremendous respect for. And you're absolutely right. Lead by example, right? Leading by example is the most powerful way to influence the people around you. You can tell people how to do things till you're blue in the face, but until they actually see living proof of it, they're not going to really take that to heart. So if they see a husband and wife treating each other with love and respect and dignity and seeing how, like, you can have humor and strength and relationship and most importantly, resolve disagreements, not only are you going to prove yourselves as worthy leaders for them to listen to and respond to, but you're also going to be setting a example for them that they can take home to their lives. So, you know, maybe they're having marital issues themselves, or maybe they are single and looking for a spouse, or whatever that dynamic may be, they can see what you guys are doing and see, wow, I really want to live that life. How can I do that? Well, look, Evie Lynn and her husband are doing it. Maybe I can do that way. So it's learning by seeing and proving that you are living a lifestyle that they want, right? There's nothing worse than having a spouse that is constantly bad-mouthing or, you know, talking down to or demeaning another spouse in front of them or behind them. A, it's poor taste. And B, it's like, well, what does that say about you, man? You're the one that married them. So you've got to be able to lead by example and always try to love on your spouse and lift them up. Not only is it good for them, but it's certainly good for you and leads a wonderful example to those of you, those of people that are around you. I actually was just speaking with another one of our members earlier today, and she was saying that, you know, one of her most important things is to be an example for her son. And that is just very, very near and dear to my heart. Our kids learn from us, and the way that we treat our spouses is oftentimes how they're going to treat their spouses in the future. So it's really important that we learn how to prioritize and put our spouses ahead of whatever is the most important thing that you think of that day. Because it's key for your children's emotional well-being and their future and how they deal with people in the future and how they deal with relationships and marriage in the future as well. So going back to some of like the falsehoods that we have, again, with this whole, like, you know, oftentimes we make excuses for the behavior that we exhibit, right? Like, it's just been a really stressful day and I just don't want to deal with anything. So we're short with our spouse or with our kids. And, you know, if we can just get through this hump, they'll understand and I'll make it all better. But how often does it happen that you're like, it's just around the corner. Things are going to get better just around the corner if we can just hold on a little bit longer. And what happens is a week turns into a month, which turns into a year, which turns into two, which turns into 10. And it's just this constant, never-ending acceptance of, I am not making any headway with how I treat my spouse, but it's just around the corner. And what ends up happening is we all get disillusioned, right? The spouse is like, well, I can't believe you because it's always around the corner and I can only take so much. And you start to believe, well, I'm constantly frustrated, so I have the right to treat my spouse in this way. And that's really not a good place to end up, but a lot of people do. And it's really easy to allow our businesses to kind of change our state and our frame of mind and the way that we treat other people, because it becomes so important. Like, this is how we put food on the table, and things are just not going the right way today, and I'm frustrated with this client, and I'm frustrated with this employee, and the kids are screaming, and I'm not getting any support, and me. And we kind of lash out at the people that we love and wonder why it all falls apart, right? It's like kind of a two-way street. So we have to make sure that we are constantly taking little like break checks and seeing like, well, how long has this been going, and am I really balancing it out? I like to use the analogy of a bank, right? We try to use like a grace bank. So every time we do something, we screw up and our spouse forgives us and gives us mercy, they're kind of making this deposit in that bank. And then the next time that you screw up, you make a withdrawal from that bank. And as long as you are constantly filling up that bank with lots of love and grace and mercy and patience and kindness that is oftentimes not even deserved. That's the most important kind of grace and mercy, that it's not deserved, but that you give it anyway. You're filling up that bank with your spouse, and they can make those tiny withdrawals when you are human and you are short-tempered or frustrated or tired or exhausted and don't have the emotional energy to be kind and loving and patient. So it's really important that we're balancing that out, because oftentimes we just take a lot of withdrawals and make no deposits, and our spouses can get emotionally and physically just worn out. Which leads me kind of like to a really cool thing that we're learning here in the Bahamas, and that was about kind of controlling your state. Oftentimes, we start the day and we're super frustrated and we can't seem to get any headway, and we take it out on our spouses because we choose this frustrated state. But you are the person that chooses your state. You are the person that decides how you're going to feel. So you need to make that decision that you are not going to allow outside circumstances to control your state and therefore control how you react to people and how you kind of deal with the people around you, especially the people that you love. So I would recommend starting every day with intentionally choosing a state of positivity, of being patient and being graceful and learning to love on your spouse when you're frustrated. That is a muscle that is very, very important to flex, and being able to exercise that grace and mercy so that you can receive it as well. And then finally, really important thing to do is to have kind of like these rules of engagement, because we know as human beings, we're going to have disagreements and we're not going to always understand one another and we're going to butt heads. And that's fine. That's human. Everybody argues, but having those rules of engagement, like a Geneva Convention for your marriage, is really important, because when you say those words, you can't take them back. You may say something and not really even mean it, because it feels really good to be painful and hurt them if they've hurt you. But that person takes that inside, and even though they may forgive you, it'll be in their psyche. So it's really important to understand that when you're arguing, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And it takes practice, but it's really important. And this is one of the most powerful ways that you can learn to love your spouse. So the rules that we've had is no yelling, and that person, you know, your spouse gets to choose what yelling is. So if this is yelling, then this is yelling. You need to take it down a notch. There's no interrupting. Like, listen to the other person and truly listen. Don't just sit there and be quiet and formulate your response in the back of your mind. Truly listen and take in what they're saying. Oftentimes, a lot of arguments can be resolved by actually listening to the words that they're saying, not just how you feel and how what your filters are telling you that they're saying. No sarcasm or hyperbole. Using things like, you always do this, or you never do that. Do they always do that? Do they never do it? Well, no, it's not really like that. Well, is it more like 2 times out of 10? So when you start to blow things out of proportion, it can definitely add a sense of like this bigger, you know, making a mountain out of a molehill, rather than taking this mountain and shrinking it back down to a molehill, which is much more doable to resolve, right? Like, if we take a small issue and we make it this massive problem that now our marriage is on the line, how easy is that going to be to resolve when you're using words like always and never, and you're just this huge problem, when you can actually just minimize it to what it really actually is? It's much easier to communicate and solve and resolve the issue. Then of course the usuals: no swearing, no name calling, no mimicking, don't make faces or, you know, funny voices. That's demeaning and rude, and it's unnecessary, and it only adds to exacerbate the problem. And then once you forgive, you forget it. You don't bring it up again to yourself or anyone else. That's it. Once it's done, it's done. Can't bring it up again. And if you do, the person can call you out on it and you have to apologize. Like, that's it. Once you forgive, you forget. And then finally, focusing on what's actually been done, not how you perceived it. So oftentimes, you know, we read between the lines, and a lot of, you know, what 90% of communication is body language. We're all fallible and we all have good days and bad days, but, you know, try to focus on what really happened, what really was said, and not what your filters are telling you. And that's really going to be able to help you to resolve the issue, because that's really the ultimate goal, is resolving it. You know, you don't want to be in this fight forever. So that's it. And then apologizing sincerely, and then offering forgiveness, and then at the end, reconnecting, not just walking away angry or numb or whatever, but spending the time to really reconnect and emotionally kind of come back together. And that may come easier to some than others, but it is crucial to the whole process. It's like a healing, right? You've got this wound and it may need to be cleaned up, and you may need to get all the sand and dirt out of it. And then you're going to put a salve on it, and then a Band-Aid. And that Band-Aid, you might need to, like, you know, put it on with, you know, bandages or whatever it is. But that is really important to the healing process. So those are kind of the ways that you can really love on a spouse, is just being supportive, loving them, being patient, having rules of engagement, understanding that they are more important than the business, and ultimately they are your why. And that is really important not to lose sight of it, because if you lose your why, then what's the point of the what, right? So if you guys are struggling and fumbling around in the dark and you're frustrated and you're sick and tired of it always being around the next corner, and you just want somebody to help you to find a strategy that is proven, that works, that actually can get you to where you want to be so that your business serves you and not the other way around, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check out our free masterclass. At the end, you can sign up for a breakthrough call with one of our amazing coaches and discuss a plan on how to get you from where you are now to where you want to be. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to my rant. Hopefully it wasn't too confusing. And we love you, Cleaning Nation. Thanks so much. Have an amazing rest of your week. Bye, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.